Welcome to episode 45 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now, about how Tiger Woods is winless on the PGA Tour in 2007. That all changed Sunday, of course, when Tiger Woods continued his winning streak of seven PGA Tour events in a row. Of course, this being the first tournament of the year, it's obvious why he was winless. But, yeah. You know, same old, same old. I mean, it's like, this is boring. He was seven shots back on Friday evening, starting the day Saturday. No one ends up challenging him. Kind of pathetic, really.
Really pathetic. I mean, when you consider that he's back of the field. And now I wanted to interject this. Now, the state of Tiger's game is still in question because he's only won once this season.
Oh, well, that's true. But that's infinitely more than Phil Mickelson has won already.
This is true.
So, but once again, young guys failing to step up in the final round. Charles Howell played a fine final round of 68. Shot 4 under. But Brant Snedeker, who shot the 61 earlier in the week, finishes bogey, birdie, birdie, bogey, par, par, birdie to a 71 in the final round. Not going to get it done against Tiger, who fired a 66. And Andrew Buckle buckled under the pressure, finishing double, par, par, bogey, 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 birdie. The double is really what killed him. He had a shot over the bunker. He missed the green way short and right on a hole. He had a shot over a bunker to a very tight pin, ended up flying the entire green. I don't know why he didn't play to the fat part of the green, put it somewhere on there, take his two putts, make a bogey, and go home. He still would have had, a two-shot lead at that point. He was leading, if I remember, by three over Tiger at the time. So
yeah, well, for all this talk about everybody, you know, is comfortable with Tiger now, they're not too worried about him. I mean, there's really no evidence to support that theme right now. Because it seems that everybody is buckling. Although, as you said, was it Charles Howell III hung in there?
Yeah, well,
he was great golf.
He was coming from a little further back, but lost by. He was tied with Tiger to start the day, and you know, 68's a good number. But when Tiger throws up a 66, what are you going to do?
Just watch.
But see, that's the thing. The guys were spotting Tiger three shots. He was three shots back of the lead, if I remember right. So a 69 would have tied him. 69, I don't think, is asking for too much to win a golf tournament. So, but again, his seventh straight PGA Tour event. It's kind of odd, though, whether or not the streak is continuing. It's technically seven PGA Tour events in a row. He finished second and stuff in a few other tournaments in China and Japan and some other international European Tour events and stuff. But PGA Tour sanctioned events, seven in a row.
Yeah,
that,
well,
that goes to that question.
Yeah, well, which is an impressive streak, but I think the streak is slightly meaningless. If it had been stroke play events, that'd be one thing. Of course, he lost in match play,
but not in a PGA Tour event.
Not on the PGA Tour, obviously. But I think the streak would be a little more meaningful had he continued that streak in Asia.
But at the same time, this is almost as impressive. Tiger has not finished worse than second since last July.
Not bad.
So, you know, we got a T2 at the Cialis Western Open, a bunch of wins in a row, finished second at the HSBC Champions in Shanghai, China, second at the Dunlop Phoenix in Japan, won his Target World Challenge, won the PGA Grand Slam. Every event he's competed in since last July, he's not finished worse than second. Of course, those are stroke play events. We're leaving out the World Match Play. Is this streak more or less impressive than Byron Nelson's streak of 11 straight PGA Tour wins? Because some are quick to point out that A, the depth of the field back then in Byron Nelson's day wasn't quite as deep, and also that it was during wartime and stuff, and so many of the top players weren't there every week.
Oh, I'm going to say that it's not as impressive as the win. I mean, Byron Nelson was competing against his contemporaries, and whether or not there were golfers that were not there because of the war, you know, is something that I don't really have a full grasp on. But it's 11 events, and I think history will always look at the number. What Tiger's done, this is the second time. Well, he had six wins previously. Well, he's exceeded that now with his seventh straight win on the PGA Tour. But no, I don't think it's reached that level. He's gonna have to go to 11 to match that impressive streak that Byron Nelson made.
Fair enough. I'd say it's close, but obviously since I'm 28, I never saw Byron Nelson play in his prime, so I really have no understanding. I can talk all I want about how the depth of the field is so much better these days, but without seeing it firsthand, I really can't say how much deeper it is. Phil Mickelson, of course, got his PGA Tour event started last week. Bob Help Chrysler Classic. Of course, Charlie Hoffman, crazy-haired Charlie Hoffman, title staff player, walked away with that event, going into a playoff to beat John Rollins on the first playoff hole. So a good first win on the PGA Tour by one of the fan favorites, mostly for how he looks, I believe. Looks like a cool, calm, collected kind of guy. Congratulations to Charlie Hoffman on his first PGA Tour win. He'll certainly be around for the next 2.5 years, and maybe we'll see him in Hawaii next year. Most of the first-timers tend to go to Hawaii, you know, to play in the Mercedes.
Yeah, a Tiger doesn't.
They don't skip it like a Tiger Woods does.
Yeah, well, when you have 50-plus wins, you know.
I think he's up to 55 now. That's nuts.
Well, this is pretty, I was noticing with Phil Mickelson, you know, he didn't really have the greatest time out there in this last event he played.
Yeah.
He looked rusty. He looked like, I mean, obviously everyone knows Phil takes a lot of time off in the off season.
Well, supposedly he's got a new swing. It's one of the stories I asked from this week because we're combining 2 weeks, but he's got a new swing and really didn't look impressive at all in the Bob Hope.
Nah, he struggled. He struggled to make the cut. He was pretty close to the cut line on day two.
All right. Duval made it through though. Did he not?
He did. He made it through well too. I'm not sure where Duval finished, but he was right up towards the top during that tournament on day three.
Be interesting to track how Phil Mickelson handles this year after, you know, of course, the U.S. Open ended badly for him last year, and then the rest of the year after that ended badly for him as well. So be interesting to see if, like you say, he's stupid enough to play well this year. You said it. I'm just repeating your words.
You like that soundbite, don't you?
I don't have that one handy either, but
I did say that. I feel like
such an idiot. I don't have that sound clip hit handy, but you said it, so.
We need to find that one.
Hale Irwin didn't win at all last year, but now he's 61 and he wins in Hawaii again. You know, this is, I don't know what's more impressive, you know, Hale Irwin winning at 61 on the Champions Tour.
Yeah.
Or Tiger winning 7 straight. I mean, those are close to me. In my mind.
Irwin's been on a absolute tear, and of course, he kind of dropped off the map last year, but, you know, this is kind of what we expect from Hale Irwin. Been a solid player for a long time on the Champions Tour, so I enjoyed that. I like to see him pull it out again. I'm rooting for him. He seems like a pretty class guy, so.
Yeah, and then Fred Funk, of course, wins next week, winning by 11 strokes, so
yeah,
pretty much playing by himself.
I think Tom Kite was about to cry coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy.
He's been around for a while there, too, so, you know, he can't compete with the 61-year-old Irwins. Probably he's not going to compete with the 51-year-old Fred Funks. Of course, Nick Price, I want to point out, it was pointed out during the telecast of the Buick, Nick Price turned 50 Sunday, so it'll be interesting to see him on the Champions Tour soon, too. It's a good year for Champions Tour players, whether or not they'll actually go out and play, because even Fred Funk admits to wanting to play on the PGA Tour a few times, so we shall see. We'll also be right back after this word from Titleist.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand, and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
Welcome back. Today, in our golf forum topic, iPark1303, which is a very original username, brings up this question. In your opinion, has Tiger helped or not helped the entire golf movement? He says, curious to hear your opinions.
And then doesn't answer the question himself.
That was weak.
That's all right. I'll let you make fun of people this week. If you're going to make fun of usernames and people's intellectual levels, that's fine. So, but anyway, the question, it's a good question, even if he's chicken to answer it himself. Has Tiger Woods helped or not helped the entire golf movement? And I answered yes, in that if nothing else, he raised the awareness. He's never done anything bad. He's never cast a bad light on golf. So even if the help is minimal, which I again doubt that it is, he has helped. That much I believe is clear. How much he's helped is up for debate. We're not seeing the massive numbers of minorities that many predicted would come into golf simply because Tiger Woods is not white. We're not seeing that, but I don't know that you can blame him for that. You know, he has the Tiger Woods Learning Center, which is kind of not golf-related, so that's off to the side. And simply by raising the awareness level of golf, he's single-handedly probably driven purses through the roof, which also single-handedly drives charitable giving through the roof. He's helped a lot of people just by doing those things. You know, he's never done anything bad for golf, so I don't know, except for winning. A few people get tired of that, but those are people that are golf fans to begin with. I don't know that you'll disagree with me, but I would say that he certainly helped.
Well, it's going to be pretty tough for me to play devil's advocate on this one. I mean, to say that Tiger hasn't helped or brought more awareness to the golf movement is, you know, just to turn a blind eye to the whole situation. So I can't really disagree with you. I think he has brought golf to the place where it is almost viewed as a regular sport like any other sport. I mean, fitness, as someone pointed out in our forum discussion.
That's a good point.
Fitness has been brought to another level in golf. You just never saw that.
That's a good point. Tiger made golf an athlete's sport and not a fat guy in plaid checker sport.
Yeah.
More than anyone else.
Well, and he's made such a statement with that. I mean, he's the fittest guy out on the tour. He takes it seriously in every respect. And you know, quite frankly, he's getting the results that he needs, that he wants as a result.
Very quickly, then, why don't you think we aren't seeing the minorities that people thought would come to golf because of Tiger Woods?
Well, I think that comes down to community involvement. I mean, golf has to be a grassroots movement like anything. Basketball is going to be a popular sport because it's very accessible and cheap for anyone to play,
right?
No matter what your heritage is.
Yeah, we still don't see a lot of black people playing hockey either.
No, you're not going to see wherever a sport is accessible. When you live in Alaska like I did for years, you didn't see a whole lot of outdoor football. It was a lot of basketball, and up north you had some hockey and stuff. So it's going to be very dependent on what the community does. And golf.
I remember a Chris Rock skit where he says, black people live in like five places. And of course, this is Chris Rock, not me speaking. He's like, they live in L.A., New York, Detroit, Atlanta, and somewhere else. He's like, the only black people in Minnesota or Kirby Puckett and Prince, and that was obviously a while back.
Right.
So, you know, there are a higher concentration perhaps of black people in cities where golf, like you say, is simply not accessible, not even from a cost perspective, but there's no golf course around where they can go to a first tee clinic. It's a matter of that. I also think that we'll see a few more minorities. I mean, he's only been on the PGA Tour for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're five, I mean, golfers start developing young. You know, not too many people pick up the game at 16 and turn into stars these days. So I think 10 years, 15 years, we're not going to see a bunch, but we'll see more than the one or two that we have now, I think. So we'll see. We'll be right back again after this ad from Titleist. Stay with us.
To be a great putter, you have to be tension-free.
Trust your line and follow through. For the short wedge shot, set your weight forward and keep it there.
To create spin on a chip, mash the ball into the ground.
I've got to try that.
To hit the bump and run, place the ball back in your stance.
On downhill putts, play more break.
On short putts, focus on a tiny spot in the hole.
Be sure to accelerate.
On long putts, lean the shaft forward out of dress.
When it's this windy, try widening your stance.
And your most important tip, trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
All right, and welcome back to our Beating Ball segment. The first here, we talked about this briefly earlier, but a question was asked of Tiger Woods. He was asked about whether he would play in the Nissan, an event, you know, hosted at Riviera Country Club, a nice course that Tiger typically likes to play on, but one he's not had much success on at all. And of course, now he's won seven in a row. So someone asked the question, if you don't play at Nissan for whatever reason, if you're not ready or what have you, there will probably be some speculation like at Eastlake, where you're now at a point where you're trying to protect your streak. Especially at a place like Riviera, where you've never come close to winning, what would your answer be to that? Tiger was very to the point. Some would say rude or curt, says, people can say whatever they want. That's their opinion. They're entitled to it. Is Tiger Woods possibly or most likely skipping the Nissan to protect his streak, Jeff?
Not a chance, not even remotely. There is no way that Tiger... First of all,
would he skip an event he's played so frequently?
Now,
pretty much every year.
The question I have for you is, has it been newly dubbed the Nissan, or has it been the Nissan for years?
No, it's been the Nissan. Adam Scott won it 2 years ago when it was 36 holes, remember?
Okay, well, I can't really speak to that. I don't think that Tiger, there's no back down in him. I don't think he's trying to protect it. First of all, I don't think that Tiger has in his mind that I have won seven events in a row. And while he thinks it's great that he's won seven PGA Tour events...
Yeah, his answers on that seem to be kind of mixed. He's like, seven's great, but when you talk about 11, that's a lot. And then other times he'll be like, last year he was saying, oh, I consider my streak to have ended.
Right.
It's almost like he let people talk him into his streak again. So,
uh-huh.
I don't know. It's a little shady to me. You know, he's always played the Nissan back when it was called the LA Open or whatever, too. He's always played there, but he's never done well there. So it's interesting. We talked about it briefly about the Tour Championship, where he doesn't have the greatest track record at Eastlake, despite liking the course and usually playing. And he skipped that last year, too. So it's a little funny to me, just because he almost always plays in this event. But the other possibility some people have put forth is that if he wins the match play, which he's had a lot of success doing, that would be win number 8. Then he would play two other events before hitting the Masters.
Yep.
And then the Masters could be win number 11 to tie Byron Nelson. That's been some people speculated that that may be what he's going for. Not that he's looking to avoid something, but that he's looking to set himself up for a grand stage to tie Byron Nelson at the Masters. I think that's a little beyond, but I don't know. That reeks too much of marketing and not just winning. So
right.
I don't know if I give much credit to that, but I give a little credit to the thought that perhaps something's a little fishy with his decision not to go to the Nissan. But it's tough to doubt someone that delivers so frequently when he wants to and has to, but...
Well, and somebody who's so fearless, you know, whenever he enters any event, he expects to win, he wants to win. And granted, it could be that he knows, well, this is not an event I've ever had success in, so maybe he's going to skip it. But I just can't see Tiger Woods saying, oh, you know, I'm going to protect my streak by avoiding this possible win. I don't know.
Our next story here is the results of a Golf Digest survey. We'll quickly blow through a couple interesting ones here. Favorite golf tournament announcer David Faraday wins over Johnny Miller by 6%, oddly enough. Johnny Miller ties Laney Watkins as the least favorite golf tournament announcer. This was, of course, done before the Golf Channel aired any PGA Tour events, or else Jerry Foltz, I'm sure, would be near the top of that list. But yes, Laney Watkins and Johnny Miller topping that list. Biggest gripe about TV golf is not enough golf being shown, and we saw that this week with CBS. Of course, yeah. The Golf Channel showed a lot of golf on Thursday and Friday, then we transitioned to CBS. In HD, I might add. Very nice touch. But half of the time, Jim Nance seemed to be promoting other CBS shows and not talking about golf or showing golf. So not enough golf being shown.
Well, and not only that, but the final pairing not even shown after Tiger drains
his... Yeah, I didn't mind that. Whatever. They were out of it. Did it really matter?
It did. It did matter to them. It might have hurt their feelings, Eric.
It might have. Their moms were watching on TV. Andrew Buckle's mom wanted to watch his son fall apart.
She felt cheated.
Just a quick hit here from Phil Mickelson talking about how his new driver, he just tries to hit high bombs. So I'm sure this will stoke the fires of the anti-bomber people. Of course, Phil Mickelson bombed out in his PGA Tour events so far this year. So his high bombs apparently aren't working despite his new swing. And supposedly he lost 15 pounds or 20 pounds and is more fit now than ever, but I don't see it. He must have switched from the switched to low-fat ice cream.
It's frozen yogurt. It's the way of the future.
I see. It's only... 10 years late. Yeah, Butch Harmon is jumping on the Michelle Wie bashing bandwagon, saying many, many things. You can find a few, but the choicest of the quotes here is probably, you should invite her to the next member guest competition at your home club, and she might actually win something. Because what's going on now is ridiculous, and it's not good for the game of golf. So hey, I hereby invite Michelle Wie to play at my member guest. I'll pay all the fees. That's fine, despite her having $10 million, I'll pay.
That's awfully generous.
She can be my guest. I'm sure we won't win, but... We'll have a crowd. Everyone's bashing Michelle Wie, including us.
That's it. Well, that's just a continuation.
Seriously, though, go play against the women.
That's pretty much how we all feel at this point.
At this point. And that's a reversal from how I felt 1 year ago today. But throughout the summer, you know, our opinions changed. Both of ours, I think. So.
It gets hard to watch. It really does.
Mobile phones were a big problem last year at the British Open. Of course, Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia and many others stopping several times. Sometimes several times per hole because people were taking pictures with camera phones and stuff. Mobile phones will not be allowed at the British Open or the Open Championship this year. So good news there. The Brits finally catching up with the standard policy on the PGA Tour. Paul Azinger will be moving his way to the Players Advisory Council. Paul Azinger, of course, being one of the most outspoken guys. Good move here, right?
Good move.
Yeah.
Great. For Zinger to be there? Absolutely.
All right. He says, I'm more interested in making history than making policy. It'd be interesting to see how that pans out. I've heard the same from politicians, of course, that end up playing the game just to get things done. So we'll see. But Azinger is certainly an outspoken, intelligent guy. We saw it on ABC as a broadcaster. So we'll see if he's as outspoken and then hard-headed as he was there on the advisory council. Looking forward to that. Finally, last news here. Hank Keeney is apparently dating Venus Williams. So
here we are.
Just an odd bit of news here that you never know. Someday there may be someone named Venus Keeney.
Hopefully she keeps her or maybe it'll be Williams Keeney.
Venus Williams Keeney, or maybe it'll be Hank Williams.
Oh my gosh!
Are you ready for some golf?
Oh dear!
That's Hank Williams, right? She's been far more successful. If they're dating and they got married, he should take her last name.
Yeah, for sure.
Keeney hasn't got them anywhere, so oh well. That about does it for. Thank goodness. For episode 45 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandchop.com and idiots worldwide, but mostly in Seattle and Erie. For Jeff Smith, this is Eric Borzeski saying, hit them straight if you have grass, otherwise, shovel your driveway.
Or use a yellow ball.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you next time.